Last week, I preached on the subject of praise and worship, and I'm going to do that again this week. And then after the Christmas season, I think there's a couple more messages in me about praise and worship. So today I want to take some time to discuss who God is and why God is worshiped. Amen? Why do we worship Him? Why do we worship Him? Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to start with verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sets above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when He will also blow on them, and they will wither. And the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. Then verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Hallelujah. To begin with, I want you to understand that when I mention God, I'm talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was reading a book recently, and it talked about all the gods that are out there today. And it was talking about witnessing. And you have to prepare the person or talk about the right God before you can witness. Because young people especially don't know what God you're talking about. Amen? But here's the God I'm talking about. Father God, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. Amen? Amen? All right. To begin with, let's understand that. Let's get that in us. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. Now, we don't have time, and I think there's no need to hand out a page full of scriptures that validate this truth. God is God all by Himself. God is God all by Himself. Listen to what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh. He said, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh that I am has sent me. That I am has sent Moses. He didn't say to announce I was sent me. He didn't say I want to be sent me. He said I am. I am. Folks, let's grasp this truth. Let's grab a hold of this truth. There's nothing about God that has ceased to be or hasn't yet been. He is the great I am. The great I am. He is the root of all existence. All life flows from Him. He is the immutable, holy, eternal one. God alone can proclaim, I am the God and there's none else. I'm the God and there's none else. Only He can declare, I lift my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. God is the only one who is totally self-existent and self-sustaining. Please understand that at one time there was no life that existed on earth. It was a void without any living thing. Suddenly something happened. Something happened. The earth took shape. Life was spoken into existence, and creatures began to roam the earth. Every creature, great and small, was created by God Almighty. Every living thing depends on Him for daily sustenance and existence. Listen to this most powerful thought. There are many things surrounding us that we realize are a necessity to us. They exist because they're necessities. Air, gravity, Elwan found out about balance, heat, cool, light, water, and we could go on and on. But why are these necessities? Why are they necessities? Simply because God created it that way. He created it that way. Everything was made to maintain His creation. It was all by His divine decree. Let me tell you something else. Our little problems don't have an impact on God. They don't rob Him of His energy. They don't deplete His supply. And they don't minimize His ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. God is independent. Can you name any other being that is independent? You can't. God alone is. We need food, water, and rest to replenish ourselves after the exertions of our day. But not so with God. Not so with God. He is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient. He never tires. He never stresses. He never lacks. Nothing depletes His resources. In fact, He doesn't have resources. He doesn't need them. Do you understand a little better why we worship the Lord here at Turning Point? Amen. This God who created everything, orchestrates everything, and sustains everything, He loves us and He deserves our highest praise. Our highest praise. We worship the immovable, all-powerful, everlasting, forever reigning King of all kings. Wow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Him as Lord. Pharaoh responded to Moses with these words, "Who is this God that I should consider Him?" Did that derogatory remark bother God? Of course not. Did he go into a tizzy? Did he go into frenzy thinking? No, Pharaoh doesn't know me. God said, Pharaoh doesn't know me. I'm all upset. No, he didn't say that. It didn't bother him. He simply said, just tell him for me, Moses, let my people go. Let my people go. What does the devil tell us? You aren't going to make it. Just give up. You'll never be delivered. Things are hopeless. God doesn't care about you. But I have good news for you, brothers and sisters. Good news. The devil, with all his evil concoctions, his misinterpretations, his negative imagery, and his seducing words no longer matter. They are of no concern. God certainly doesn't listen to them, and neither should we. Amen. Amen. I want you to close your ears to those preposterous lies that he tells us all the time. Jesus told us this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen. Then he went on to say, "If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. Do you have a major problem? Get with God and get over it. Amen. Our God existed before the world, and He really doesn't need it now. Let me give you this picture. If our God could take an eraser and blot out every memory of man and all the trappings of creation, it would not change His status. It could not diminish His power. God's elevated position and his divine authority can never be altered. Amen. Let me say that again. God's elevated position and his divine authority can never be altered. All of creation is merely a glimpse of his greatness. Because all the wonder and beauty of heaven and earth came directly from him. What does the word say about Almighty God? With whom there is not variation or shadow of turning. He never, never, never changes. You and I are forever moving from birth to death, young to old, living to dying. Not so with God. He was and is to come. Everything was created new. Everything, but not anymore. It's growing old, isn't it? But not God. So folks, please don't ho-hum through this message this morning. I want you to get every bit of it. Amen? Amen. Understand that God who created you is worthy of your worship. Yes. Let your mind soar with the wonder of his majesty. The King, the one who rules and reigns forever and ever. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. As human beings, we are constantly considering time. We require starting points. We measure the distance we have traveled. But think about this. There's not a starting point with God. You can't go into any book or search the annals of time to find out when God was fashioned or by whom. If we could travel back to the time before creation, all we would see is God Almighty standing alone, full of glory, eternal, unchangeable. God can change everything. Yet he remains forever unchanged. Unchanged. He can change everything. Yet he remains unchanged. The fact that he is self-existent is testimony of the fact that there is no conceivable force that can ever wound, injure, or destroy him. If every nation on this earth would join in allegiance to Satan and announce they were going to overthrow God and his church, do you know what effect that would have on God? None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Is anyone hearing this? Come on. Come on, get with me here. Sometimes have you felt fearful that Satan might do something to harm you and your family? I want you to listen to me very, very closely. Long before Calvary, God was God, and I assure you that God has never been threatened, isolated, or in distress. The good news for us who follow him and serve him is that he is on our side. Amen. Amen. He is on our side. That's why Paul wrote, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to listen to these words found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Amen. 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 No one, nothing can ever touch him. His power is all sufficient, and it will never be minimized or extinguished. He is God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Hear me today. It's time we have an acute awareness of the magnitude of our God. It's time we see him as who he really is. Amen. Stop being limited by your misgivings about praise and worship and begin honoring God in a manner that he so rightly deserves. Deny your fear, folks. Step out of your depression. Throw your problems to the wind. Refuse to allow your negative emotions to intimidate you, silence your voice, and rob the joy out of his presence. Amen? You were made to praise him. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Isaiah made a reference to the Messiah. He said, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. God will always rule, and his peace will last forever. The people who choose to revolt against God will have their place in the chains of darkness. It has been reserved especially for them. But we who follow him, honor him and worship him, will abide forever under the shadow of his wing. I hope you're hearing this, folks. Choose this day whom you will serve, and serve him with gladness of heart and a song on your lips. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. It may seem like life is just swirling all around you with no rhyme or reason. Life might appear like a feather in a storm, little or no direction. Do you want to know the absolute truth about life? No matter how chaotic or tragic or difficult it may appear, God is in control. God is ruling it all. God is the master of the universe and the master of your life. There's not one thing that is left to its own devices. The omnipresent, the omnipotent, and omniscient God is in control of each one of us. Brothers and sisters, God's kingdom has no beginning or ending. Kingdoms of men begin and then they flourish for a time. Many kingdoms cease because of the lack of heirs, you know, heirs. Not hair, heirs. Armies have been known to overthrow other armies. The mightiest of kings has died. God's kingdom has no beginning and no ending. Two words will never be used to describe God's kingdom. That is predecessor or successor. They'll never be used. Quit fretting about whether or not the Lord is going to help you defeat some foe or overcome some problem. He will. He will. God has never lost a battle. He will never be defeated. Matter of fact, he hasn't even been challenged. Amen. I could go on and on this morning, and I probably will. But I have a point I want to make that I really believe God has revealed to me. We worship Him today not only because of what He's done for us, not even as a response to our spiritual experience when we were born again. The reason we desire to worship Him today is to experience His glory. Yes. To experience His glory. The epic battle for the souls of man can be traced back to the garden. It was there that man fell from his created state into personal sin. Ever since that time, we have been striving to experience God's glory once again. But because of His love for us, God had a plan for us to experience that glory, and it was completed in 3 days after Jesus' death with an empty tomb and a victorious Christ and a broken Satan.
Amen.
Please understand that personal worship is the doorway into an experience with God's glory. Personal worship is the doorway into an experience with God's glory.
Amen.
Unfortunately, I've heard worship described in such pitiful ways that it could easily be compared to one of our pastimes. Brothers and sisters, worship is not a hobby. It's not a pastime. It's not an exercise. Worship is an experience.
Amen.
Worship is an experience. It is not merely the way of showing you love and affection for God, although we do that in worship. True worship is a goal worth securing. It is in true worship that our spirit emotionally connects with the Holy Spirit. We know that Adam and Eve lived in God's glory. They lived in God's glory, but they lost their first state of being. In fact, as a result of their sin, we were born without knowing or understanding it. Listen to what the Bible tells us of our sin nature. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When Moses stood on the mountain and spoke with God, he said, "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory." God said, "I can't yet. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to place you in the cleft of the rock. I will walk by and let you see what is behind me." Moses was closer to God than any other human being. He was able to experience His holy presence. However, Moses had a desire to be in the midst of God's glory. His soul was recognizing the immensity of the Lord God. Moses' soul, man, was crying out to experience the glory for which he had been created. Moses, no doubt, had some evidence of God's glory. The burning bush, tabernacle, the cloud during the day, the fire at night, even the manna that fell from heaven. But Moses never found the experience for which he had hoped. How fortunate for us that in God's timing came Jesus. How fortunate for us. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus declared, if you knew who I was among you, if you knew that I am more than a carpenter's kid, if you really knew these things, you would worship me. If you really knew these things, you would worship me. Then Jesus made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The people could not contain their praise. They began to demonstratively praise and honor Jesus. In Luke 19, verse 38 through 40, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But He answered them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Why would the stones cry out? Because of that in His glory. They knew His glory. God created the world, didn't He? It was necessary for Jesus to be praised because He embodied the manifested glory of God. After His renowned entrance, Jesus was seen on a bloody cross atop the rugged hill, the place where the battle of ages raged with Satan on one side and Jesus on the other. 3 days later, the winner was obvious. A victorious Christ emerged from the tomb, having defeated Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Brothers and sisters, this was not an epic battle against good and evil. The truth of the matter is that forces of evil never stood a chance. Never stood a chance. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." For this purpose, God wanted Jesus' work for the salvation of man to be complete so that we could once again experience His glory. Our worship today is not a thing. It is not our words. It is not our thoughts. It is our place. It is our position in Christ. In Romans 3:23, I read it just a minute ago, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The word for glory in that verse literally means worship. So it could say, "For all have sinned and fall short of the worship of God." Calvary's cross, Jesus' sacrifice, was all about restoring you to your rightful place, that position where you could experience God's glory again. This God of the universe, this creator of everything, the master of it all, the one who took our sin and gave us His peace, the reigning King, our loving Lord and Savior, has opened the door for a spiritual interlude with you and desires your worship. Adam and Eve experienced God in His glory. Now that we have been restored, we have the privilege of experiencing His glory. Worship is now the essence of our being. It should not be an afterthought, but it must be a preeminent thought. Amen. We don't worship Him because we feel like it. Right. We worship Him because that's what we were created to do. Amen. You and I are worshipers of Almighty God. Yes. We can't escape it. No. We can't get around it. We are worshipers. And when we receive that invitation to commune with God, the Spirit within us will magnify Him with words that are emanating from deep within our souls. Hallelujah. Allow me to share something else that your Savior has accomplished with you. When you were greedy, He made you unselfish. When you were hateful, He made you loving. When you were sinful, He made you righteous. When you were bound, He made you free. When you were filthy, He made you pure. When you were damned, He made you pardoned. When you were outside of glory, He made you glorified. We can get loud. We can get boisterous. We can be joyous. We can overflow, brothers and sisters. And why not? Because the hunger of our great and wonderful God has been restored. We are unable to contain it. The spirit man in you is unable to contain it. The Bible says we now have this treasure in earthen vessels. But the treasure we have within needs to have full reign in our lives, and it must be expressed. It must be expressed. It needs to flow from you. Let me get some water. I want you to look within yourself this morning, and I want to get personal with you. I'm compelled to this morning to ask you, what are you keeping in your life that you consider equal to God? Nothing. To whom or to what have you likened him? To what have you been identifying as being of the same value as Father God? A drink, a smoke, an affair, a job, a bank account, a relationship, a hobby, a habit, a perfect appearance, a personality trait. What do you honor or seek after that is more important or more desirable than him? Consider all this realistically and then compare it to God. There can be no comparison. There can be no comparison. Are your desires binding you when God offers you freedom? I know that there are times when the powers that are at work are against us. They seem strong, awful strong. But I want you to know that in spite of the size of the battle, you are serving the invincible King. Amen? And in the battle, he will always be on your side. Always be on your side. He will prove his position to you. He will remind us of his authority. He will achieve his purposes. He will intercede in your battle against evil. If you have allowed yourself to be captured by some physical, mental, or emotional thing, you will be missing out on the opportunity of a lifetime, the very best there is, the joy of the Lord and the manifestation of his glory. Nothing in your life deserves more worship than you give to God. Nothing in your life is more worthy of your worship than God. God is calling you. God is beckoning you. God is wanting you to experience him in all his glory. Please hear my voice, folks. Permit this word to penetrate your heart today. Allow this message to inspire you to praise him, to motivate you, to seek that manifested glory through your worship. I want to share some things about the power of God. He can make a dead rod bud. He can part the waters at the Red Sea. He can sweeten the waters at Marah. He can trouble the waters at Siloam and heal people. He can make an axe head float. Yes. He can overcome sin with a great flood. He can set a bush on fire and it not be consumed. He can make a rod turn into a serpent and back again. He can create bedlam in the house of the captors with a few plagues. He can bring water out of a rock. He can give bread to me in a dry place. He can restore my soul. He can start a fire on a mountain called Carmel. He can make a donkey talk. He can translate Enoch and Elijah. He can give a double portion of his spirit. He can take a farmer named Gideon and wipe out the Midianites. He can knock down the walls at Jericho. He can make the sun stand still until the battle's won. He can wipe out the Philistines with a jawbone and bring water out of that same jawbone. He can feed a man with ravens. He can cleanse the leprosy of Naaman. He can deliver three men in a furnace. He can create life in a dead man when his body lands on the bones of a dead prophet.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can turn water into wine. He can walk on the water. He can calm the storms of life. He can straighten a withered hand. He can cast demons out of a madman. He can fill empty nets with fish. He can cleanse a leper and open a dead man's eyes. He can feed a multitude with some bread and fish. He can raise a widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and set Lazarus free. He can heal a woman with an issue of blood. He can put a coin in the mouth of a fish. He can reattach a severed ear. He can love his enemies. He can go to a cross, but the nails won't hold him. He can go to the grave, but the stone won't keep him in. He is capable of building a heaven for losers. He can deliver. He can save. He can overcome. He can provide. He can meet the need. What does he ask from us? Worship. 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 Hallelujah. I want us to stand. We're going to play a couple songs. I want you just to sing these songs and let worship come out. Nothing else matters right now. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Let God arise. And His enemies will scatter.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes. Sister Joy, I want it loud so we can hear it while we sing with all our hearts.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Praise Him, folks. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake you came for.
understand your grace. But tonight we stand before your throne, lifting our song to you.
Hallelujah.
So here I am to
worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Sing to your God.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Bless you, your blessing's broke. Get it fixed in this next song. Amen.
Description. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. I stand in
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to pray for this lovely lady and her husband.
He wasn't doing too well today.
Father, we just lift up this couple that have lived together so long, have reached an age that is wonderful. Lord, the things they've seen and things they've experienced are just overwhelming to us, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just minister to them. Just minister your peace, your love, your healing to them, Lord God. Lord, let them not be doing well. Let them be doing great. Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Give them strength, Lord God. Clear mind, clear thought, Lord God. Oh, thank you for their witness, Lord. Thank you for a life devoted to you. Oh, we praise you for them, Lord. Touch their lives, Lord Jesus. Minister today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, I hope that blessed you today. I feel like I'm captive. I feel like I need to just open up. Just praise God from way down the tip of my toes. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. In the weeks to come, I just want us to bubble over. Just bubble over. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't let your mind control your spirit. Worship Him, Lord. Worship Him, folks. And even at home, you don't have to be here. When the devil assaults you, get out of praise group, praise record, whatever, not record, tapes, CDs, something. And praise Him. Amen. Praise Him. Give Him glory. And that old devil's tricks will disappear just that quick. Amen. Hallelujah.
I say,
yeah, Chris?
I already told you, but me and Vern, we were out driving around, and there's a car ran the light, and it was like coming right at us because we were both, he was on the.